We're on Studying the Holy Spirit, and we'll be on Lesson 4 tonight. Talk about the Holy Spirit and conscience and emotions. Let's review just a little bit. Who is the Holy Spirit?
Third person of the Godhead.
Third person of the Godhead. What can you tell me about him? Anybody? A little bit louder.
He revealed the word of the apostles.
Okay.
He was the replacement, meaning not replacement, but he was the helper when Christ Jesus went to heaven. He was to be sent as the helper for the apostles.
Yeah, he's called a number of names we looked at through, and he's called the comforter and the helper. Not only for the apostles, but he's also a comforter and helper for us. The Word. Anything else about him? Is he God? Is he deity? Okay, how you know? We're not in vacation Bible school here. All right. If you're going to talk to somebody, that's not the answer you guys are going to give them, I hope.
Genesis 1, let us make man in our own image.
All right. What else? Well, there's another one, too. We'll use another example. Anybody remember?
Baptism of Jesus Christ.
Do what? Okay. Not the one I'm looking for.
He was in the beginning.
There's three, but there's one. Yeah. But where is he? Huh?
Transfiguration? That's
where is it? No. Where is he called? He is called God. Okay.
Genesis 1,
that's 1 and 2. Acts 5. All right. What was Acts 5?
Ananias and Sapphira.
All right. What did Peter tell Ananias?
You lied to the Holy Spirit.
And then he comes back later on and says, you lied not only to men, but to God. So there you have, per se, that the Holy Spirit, this is Peter, speaking by inspiration, that Holy Spirit is God. Okay. So, He is God. He has characteristics of deity. Alright? What can deity do? Huh? Yeah. What are some characteristics of deity we talk about?
Omnipotence.
Okay. Eternal. Good. Foreknowledge.
All knowing.
Uh huh. Memory. We use the example of let's see, where he was talking about out of the mouth of David, talking about Judas, what he's going to do to Christ, how he's going to do that, be there with arresting people. All right, he can do that. Also, it's Holy Spirit is not a it. It's a he. That's why it's used a personal pronoun. It's a person. Not an it. It's a person. It's got characteristics of a person. All right. So, let's begin now with Lesson 4. He begins, or he does, with this example we're talking about. In 2006, the Richland Hills Church of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas, made history by incorporating the use of instrumental music in their worship. In a sermon delivered on December the 10th, 2006, preacher Rick Astley made the following statement regarding one of his reasons for making this departure from the New Testament pattern of worship. right there at that spot, about 1994, the Holy Spirit said to me in the middle of my sermon, and that's what you and all the preachers like you were doing, who haven't for years believed that the worship of God with instruments is wrong, but you continue by your sounds to let people think it is wrong, to allow the body to be disrupted, and you do so under the plea, well, we're just maintaining peace. But that's not peace, that's cowardice. I knew then that the day would come I would have to teach this lesson. I actually claimed that the Holy Spirit spoke directly to him while he was preaching a sermon. Okay. Reading that. Do you notice anything wrong?
That is blasphemy.
All right. What else do you see is wrong in there? All right. There you go. That's one of them. 1994, and he didn't preach until 2006. And if the Holy Spirit spoke to me in the middle of the sermon, Doug.
I had a very similar incident happen to me years ago when I was preaching at Frederickstown. We had a gospel meeting, and we had, and the visiting preacher was interested in the Amish. Now, I had had a few studies with Amish and family and so forth. I said, well, you know, if you want to talk to him, we've got to talk to him. So, of course, they don't have any way of letting them know this should come. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit says he didn't. No, it's not unique. You hear stuff like this, but why would it take you 12 years if the Holy Spirit, and I like to say, no. He says, right, like right there on that spot, I'll say right there, I was preaching in the middle of the of my sermon. Now, what happened? He didn't say what happened that I know about. He just says, and that the Holy Spirit said to me, well, could the audience see anything? Did he stop and say, wait a minute, I'm getting a revelation here or what? Well, that's my big point. That's in 1994. There's another one. Well, I said deliver on December the 10th, 2006, but he doesn't remember when the Holy Spirit spoke to him? I mean, if you have that feeling or something, I would know not only the date, I would probably say, look, I would write know the time that exactly happened.
In 1994, that's a long time period. Was it January? Was it summer?
See, I mean, here if he's talking about this leaves you a lot of questions, And if he's trying to convince me of something or other, he's doing a very poor job, Sherry. I get the impression that it's at the same place. He says, right there at that spot, about 1940, the Holy Spirit said to me in the middle of my sermon, and I can be wrong, but I'm making this assumption that he was there in 1994, and the Holy Spirit come. I mean, did he just keep on preaching? I mean, what's going on? If he wasn't paying attention to him and he was just going on. I mean, there's a lot of things. But now, let's go back, though. This is one of his reasons. Okay? This is not the only one, the main one, I guess. Well, it may be a main one. But if it's the main one, and he's got just a lot of holes in this one, this reasoning, it's one I would not use, my per se. But I see a lot of error and stuff like that. I mean, put my mind that I don't know. All right. Have any of you talked to Mormons? They come in pairs. Do you know that they have power? Those two young men?
They claim to be, have power.
They said they got it.
I know. They claim to be up, but that's not true.
Yeah. Okay. This is, mind you, I had a discussion with two of them, and I had it a couple times. The first time I listened to them or thing, they gave me the book, and so I read it, some of it, and I invite them back and come back. And we started talking to them about the Mormon book, and I said, I believe you've got some contradictions here in your Book of Mormons, which, you know, from my standpoint, I don't see it. There is contradiction in the Bible with that. And so we went through with that, and it was just a standard thing. And I said, well, let's just go ahead and stop right now. Do you want me to become a Mormon? They said, well, yes, we do. I said, you tell me you have power. You strike me blind right now, then I'll become a Mormon. I wear glasses, but I still can see. They couldn't do it. Could not do it. Now, do you believe that the Holy Spirit came to this guy on 1994 on that spot? What he's talking about? I have my doubts.
Well, there's got to be some awfully old apostles around somewhere if he did get the Holy Spirit. Because that was the Spirit was by the laying on of hands by the apostles.
Right.
So,
with it. So you're
and
going to
see the same thing about that.
Right. You're going to have these people, okay? The Holy Spirit is an avoided and misunderstood subject of the Lord Church today. And that's one reason we're discussing this, people. There is a lot of air about the Holy Spirit out there. And the only source you're going to get it from is the Word of God. If you want to know about the Holy Spirit, the only one place you're going to find to talk about is you're going to get it from the Bible. But there is a lot of air going on with this. What we're trying to do here is to help you when you're out talking to people or make you more comfortable talking to people about the Holy Spirit. Really. Because you can see, like these, like the Mormons and this guy right here, they got a long ways to go. We just didn't have them study much about the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things. So we're doing it. You need to get comfortable with spirits. I'll say that. You have to, guys. Our next place is spirits. Jesus is a spirit. God is a spirit and the Holy Spirit. You need to become comfortable with that, the terminology. And don't let it frighten your thing. Just read your Bible, study about it, and that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about conscience, and you're going to be talking about emotions. But you look at your source, the Word of God. That's what you need to go. All right. You'll be hearing conversations, people. You go out. And they're going to say, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. Or the Holy Spirit laid this on my heart. Or the Holy Spirit moved me. You'll hear this. And you'll see it on the internet, social media, whatever. If you're talking to people, you're going to run into it. They're out there. I'm just telling you. That's the reason we're using this example here. That's the reason I told you about the Mormons out there. They're out there. You're going to hear this conversation. Now, when you hear it, the whole idea is not to panic. We're going to hopefully learn what the Holy Spirit. That's the reason we did a review. You all did fine. Let's go on. In previous lessons, we learned that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and guides us what? Through the Scriptures. I can guarantee you the Holy Spirit's not going to speak directly to each one of you. He's not going to move you. The Holy Spirit will not move you. Now, the Scriptures can. Well, we've seen examples of that. But you're not going to get anything apart from the Scriptures with the Holy Spirit. They're going to coincide. There's none. It says, you know, the inspired and written Word of God. What are we to believe regarding the claims by brethren that the Holy Spirit speaks to us directly? Our guides, our lives in a miraculous way. The age of miracles are not here. We do not live under miracles. Now, is there providence of God? Yes, there is. But he uses what? In providence. How does God work in providence? Word? And the natural laws. I suppose you want a question.
Who answers back to God? The thing about
Yes, that's true. And we need to be talking to them, too. And it's like the reason I said the Mormons. I was nice to them, everything. And I tried to be, and I invite them back again. But, you know, from standpoint, you can only take so much air. And they kept on preaching to me air, and I just said, well, let's just stop it right here and there. If you have the power, you just do it right now, and then you'll save me. Is that what you're here for, to save me? What I'm here to talk to you about is I'm to save you, try to help you out. I think you're in error. I think you're wrong, and you think I'm wrong. Well, let's see. You tell me, you say you had the power. Just prove it to me, Doug.
It
is. It's exactly the same thing. And we'll talk about that some of it later on, too. Okay, Pax?
We stand in front of God in the day of judgment. This is what your standard right here is. It's not what I'm speaking. Right here. You can't go in front of, well, Dale said this. Well, no. Any word. My word. My will. My testament. My commandments. My statutes. My laws. Dale had nothing to do with it. And Rick doesn't have anything to do with it. This is, when you're up there, this is your standard. And so where are you going to go? You go to God's Word. Rose? Because he said you're teaching wrong, and you know it's wrong. And like I said, that's the biggie right there. When I saw that 12 years, I mean,
I think
This guy's slow, buddy. I can tell you that much. Well, that would be one of my points, though, is when he gets up there on 2006, and he said 1994, and said, why have you been waiting so long? Like Rose said, we've had people die in that 12 years because you would not tell them the word. You're working up to it. But what, if you're talking about saving souls, and you knew that you were teaching there in this 12-year period, and it took you that long to come up with it, there's something wrong. Yes. You think God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all this time since the creation of the world is not doing any things?
No. We have the revealed word. We revealed mm-hmm. it through the apostles. So now that we have this, his work is done, right? The revelation is done.
Yeah.
The revelation is done. So what other work is he doing? Because I thought his whole work was to reveal the word of God. And if we have
that's part of his thing is that in our salvation is to reveal God's mind. That's what he did right with that. Uh-huh.
So,
now, what did we talk about in deity?
He's eternal.
Yeah, but what else did we talk about that?
Yeah,
I mean, what is God and Christ doing up there now? Nothing. He's got who's got all authority? It's
Christ.
Yeah. Now, has it been revealed to me what they're going on right now? Now, let's go back a second. Listen to the word. When two or three are together, where is he at?
He's
in the spirit. We're talking spirits, guys. That's what I'm telling you. Where there's two or three, I am in the midst of you. Where's he at?
Still active, then.
I hope so. What do you pray for him if he's not active?
Well, we've always been told that the Holy Spirit's role is to reveal the Word of God. And
what else?
Complete revelation. So he no longer needs to do anything. He no longer has the Word to reveal. He's already revealed it. So if that's his sole role, then he doesn't have to do anything else now. Or am I missing something here?
You're missing something. What else does he do?
He intercedes between God and
there you go. And he grieves? I mean, he's got all these characteristic things. You put in words, how are you going to speak? He talks about it.
Okay.
He intercedes for us.
So he doesn't just reveal the word, he also intercedes.
Now, what all he does, can't answer it. I don't know.
Okay.
He's not been revealed to me. What's revealed to me is what's in his word that he says he does. Okay, Keith, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
The Word.
I was going to say that Romans 8 spends some time, too, about the Spirit of God in us, and that we would be considered imperfect and incapable of being in fellowship with God if it wasn't for the Spirit, basically replacing our carnal flesh with His Spirit. And I don't know how that works exactly, but
no.
I'm glad it does.
It's Sure does.
The Spirit has an ongoing, constant work that he does with all Christians that put on Christ and have a relationship. And he's the one who makes that relationship work. And his revelation is just the beginning of the word that we present and we put on Christ, and that puts us in fellowship with God. But the Spirit bridges that gap.
Okay, I want to pick one passage that we have to build this Romans 8, 28. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And I think it kind of is touched upon in that first lesson a little bit about all the things. So, sitting back in view, how we got to tonight's lesson. But in that first lesson, I know we covered a lot of that same.
Do I understand everything about the spirits? No. I'm not in the spirit, I'm in the flesh. But do I believe? Yes, I do. What he can do? Can I believe? Do I believe that the Comforter comforts me now? And he's a helper to me? Just like it was. Now, it's not the same way as it was with the apostles. But I have his words that he had revealed to me. And that's the reason we encourage you to read your Bible every day, to put it in your heart. Because when you go out, we'll talk about this later on too, when you go out to make decisions, whether it's good or bad, that word in your heart is going to help you to leave that bad decision off and go for the good, go the course right. Somebody else said, Doug? Sure.
The thing about Jonah and Neil is that I commend you all for sitting here because they have had a secular individual lead them pretty much all their lives. And they have now got their eyes open and they're seeing what the Holy Spirit is and they're seeing what Christ is and they're seeing what God
Well, I didn't get as far as I would like, but we will go ahead and continue Wednesday night. And we'll be talking about conscience Sunday morning. Thank you, everybody, for your comments, your questions, everything. Thank you very much.